Alderman Brian Hopkins joins us on 720 WGN. Yesterday, Mayor Johnson told reporters that the Trump administration has not communicated any information about if or when the National Guard troops might be sent. But you had a briefing, and I think you're prepared either way, correct?
Yeah, well, we're as prepared as we can be, given the unknowns, which are legion right now. We don't know what we don't know, and we don't know just about anything about what's going to happen. We're all trying to make predictions, you know, based on what Trump says himself and based on our sources that we do have at Great Lakes Naval Base. Remember, you know, we have established relationships with federal agencies that predate the Trump administration, you know, the career positions, the people who are nonpartisan, who are not appointees. You know, they've been communicating with us to the extent that they can. So we do have some knowledge of what's going on, and we're hearing reports of increased activity at Great Lakes Naval Base. But so far, we don't think any National Guard troops have shown up.
Because there is some uncertainty as to whether it's the National Guard or whether it will be an ICE strike force. Would the ICE strike force be using Naval Station Great Lakes as a staging area or an area to sleep?
Yeah, we're hearing that that is the intention. There's certainly plenty of room there. That naval base is, you know, significantly down from its peak capacity of what it used to house in terms of the population. So there's a lot of beds, a lot of space there. If they want to bring in ICE agents and let them stay there, there's certainly, you know, the capability for that. It is unprecedented. You know, immigration enforcement throughout the years that we've had it in this country has not been a military function. So to bring the military into that operation to such a degree is, again, unprecedented. That's the word we keep using.
But wait a minute, Alderman.
It's an appropriate word. It describes so many things. And this is not normal to use the military, to use a military base like that in the heartland for immigration enforcement.
I want you to sort out some terminology for us, because I don't think ICE is considered military, is it?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's so odd to try to repurpose a part of a naval base for the sole purpose of immigration enforcement. That is not normal.
I understand that.
None of this is normal.
There's so much that's not normal. You're not going to get an argument from me, but we're sort of conflating military with ICE, and you could have seems like a strong legal argument against the National Guard that you don't have against ICE coming in.
That is correct. And it's really two entirely separate phases that we're talking about here. You know, the immigration enforcement blitz and then the federally militarized National Guard. So they're two separate things. What binds them together is they're both being planned by this White House, by this president, and they're both being driven largely by a political agenda. You know, this is not something that we've asked for. It wasn't something Los Angeles asked for. You know, I guess maybe it's a different situation in Washington, D.C., because, you know, that's not a state, it's not a city, it's a district. That was a different set of circumstances. But we don't need this, and we don't want this, and this is unwelcome.
If either one of those entities show up, the thought is there will be protesters, and the concern is those protesters may not be from Chicago or even from the state of Illinois. Some might be here just to cause a bit of chaos. How do you address that?
Yeah, well, going back to your opening question, Lisa, are we prepared? That is what has been the focus of our preparation so far. And remember, we're relatively fresh off the heels of the DNC last year, where we did a lot of training and a lot of preparation for mass protests, even possibly descending into violent protests, which fortunately didn't happen. So we're using some of the lessons from that experience, which are still fresh in our minds, to try to prevent that sort of thing. We saw a little bit of that in Los Angeles when we had the ICE enforcement blitz in Los Angeles. There were protest groups that formed immediately that seemed intent on using that moment to create chaos and disorder and even riots. And then the National Guard, of course, is going to respond to that. We don't want that. We're going to do our best to prevent that from happening. We think that there are other forces, whether they're local or not. It almost doesn't really matter. If someone's going to come and throw a Molotov cocktail, I don't particularly care where they slept last night. You know, are they a local resident or did they drive mm-hmm. into St. Louis? What difference does it make? They're here for the same purpose, which is to sow the seeds of chaos and disorder for their own political reasons. And we're preparing as best we can for that possibility.
Will these be Illinois National Guards people?
Well, that remains to be seen. They're talking about bringing in National Guard forces from other states that are much more amenable to cooperate with the federal government. You know, remember, we have open hostility between President Trump and Governor Pritzker. So the governor and the state, to the extent that they do have control over the Illinois National Guard, are certainly going to do their best to impede any effort to federalize it. Other states, perhaps not so much.
But
we're seeing the possibility that National Guard resources from other Midwestern states that are sympathetic to this administration may possibly mobilize.
Well, I mean, the way I've been reading it, and you know more, I'm just looking at it, but tell me if I'm wrong, ICE is likely. Guardists could be just smoke, right? I mean, do you have information that there actually are going to be guard troops coming here?
We have contradictory information. There, again, as I said, there is so much uncertainty. You know, you hear from a reliable source who tells you they're on their way next week, and then another reliable source says, no, that's all nonsense. You know, personally, I can just share for what it's worth my opinion. A couple of weeks ago, I thought there was almost a zero chance that we were going to see National Guard troops and Humvees, et cetera, you know, on the streets of Chicago. I no longer have that confidence. I think it's possible. I really do, based on what I know and what I've heard. I'm not ruling it out. Now, having said that, I hope and pray it doesn't happen for a variety of reasons, but it's become such enough of a possibility that it would be irresponsible of us as a city to just sit back and not do anything in preparation for it. So we kind of have to, you know, hope for the best yet prepare for the worst. And having federalized National Guard troops driving Humvees, you know, through the loop or, God forbid, into some of the high-crime neighborhoods is just a recipe for conflict and potential disaster.
Lisa, can I change topics real quick?
Ask the alderman.
Alderman, I'm changing. I'm not. I'm
sure,
telling
yeah.
you.
Okay.
So we talked to you more than anything, I think, about the teen takeovers and the trends, as they're called. Lisa talked to the deputy mayor, Gary, in Gatewood earlier today, because it seems as if they kind of went away. He said they didn't go away, but they were diffused.
We've been able to stop so many of them that have been posted just from reaching out to those organizers. Also working with CPS to send letters out to families and organizers of those teen trends as well. There's actually one scheduled today, and we already have resources in place for it.
Now, so I don't want to diminish the fatality and the danger of the early season takeovers, but it does seem as if the city did a pretty good job of diffusing them through the summer.
Yes, we had two really bad ones that, you know, had gun violence associated with them in Streeterville to start the season. We haven't had a repeat since. We've had a few smaller ones, and nowhere near the level of mayhem and violence that we saw in those early months in the spring. So, you know, Deputy Mayor wants to take some credit for that. I'm not going to argue with him. I'm aware of the intervention efforts that his office has coordinated with the violence interrupters and with officials from the Chicago public school system who know their students better than anyone. And when we find out that there's a teen trend being planned, we go all in and throw everything we can to stop it from happening. And that has succeeded. Now, where I will take issue is if you want to use that as an argument against my curfew, the opposite is true. It is an argument for my curfew because the same mechanism that is in place to make those communication outreaches to stop these teen trends would have been used with added teeth from the curfew. Remember, the curfew was designed to prevent these things from happening, and that would be one more tool that police could use effectively the way they're using these other tools to prevent
right.
them from happening.
I wasn't going after your curfew.
So
I still maintain
we should have done it. We should have passed it, and it's really regrettable that the mayor flipped on it because he initially supported it, and then he changed his mind and decided to oppose it.
I know we got to move on, but I just think it's nice to point out sometimes that the city's doing something that worked, and it seems as if it worked this summer.
Yeah, we did. We got through the summer. It was not nearly as bad as it looked like it potentially could have been when we had those two bad incidents to start the season.
Thank you so much for joining us, Alderman. We always appreciate the fact that you pick up the phone.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Alderman Brian Hopkins.